Welcome to a deep dive exploring emergence in total quality management.
TQM.
TQM, yeah.
You got it.
So TQM is all about how organizations can continuously improve the quality of their products and services and processes. And you've shared some really fascinating sources with us.
Yeah.
Excerpts from academic books and a research paper. And they all touch on this idea of emergence in TQM.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you're curious about how quality can sometimes appear unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Like magic in the making.
It is a bit like magic, but there's also a science to it.
Okay.
To understand how emergence works in TQM, we need to first journey through four different ways of thinking about quality.
Okay.
These are called the four paradigms of quality management.
Paradigms. Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Let's start with the first one, the empirical paradigm.
Okay.
The name itself suggests we're going to be dealing with hard facts and data.
Right.
What's the essence of this paradigm?
You hit the nail on the head. The empirical paradigm is all about meeting specifications.
Okay.
Think data objectivity measurements.
Uh-huh.
If you're a fan of statistics and clear-cut answers, this one's for you.
So it's like a factory with super strict quality checks at every step, right? Making sure each widget is identical to the last.
Precisely. It's about controlling variation and making things predictable.
Mm.
Think of it like a well-oiled machine humming along smoothly.
Okay.
However, if taken to the extreme, it can turn into a bit of a measurement circus.
Mm-hmm.
Bureaucracy galore.
Ah. So too much of a good thing can backfire.
Exactly.
It reminds me of a time I visited a friend who worked at a plant that made those little packets of ketchup.
Oh, yeah.
You get at fast food restaurants.
Right.
Their quality control was so intense that they had a team dedicated to measuring the diameter of every single ketchup packet opening.
That's a great example of the empirical paradigm in action.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit perhaps a tad overzealous.
Yeah.
And you're right, taken to extremes, it can stifle creativity and innovation.
Okay.
But there are certainly situations where this approach is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Think about hospitals reporting on quality indicators.
Mm-hmm.
They gather tons of data on things like wait times, readmission rates, and adherence to protocols.
Yeah.
This data helps ensure a certain standard of care and ultimately saves lives.
That makes perfect sense in those high-stakes situations. You definitely want to minimize variation and ensure consistency.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's more to the quality story than just crunching numbers.
Right.
What's the next paradigm on our journey?
Next up is the reference paradigm.
Okay.
This one's all about models, frameworks, and best practices.
Uh-huh.
Think of it as having a gold standard to measure yourself against.
Okay. So instead of just measuring against a fixed set of specifications, you're comparing yourself to an agreed-upon model.
Absolutely. It's about benchmarking and striving for excellence.
Okay.
Think of the ISO 9001 standard or the Malcolm Baldrige Award.
Mm-hmm.
These frameworks provide a roadmap for organizations to achieve world-class quality.
So it's still about setting a target?
Yes.
But the target is more holistic and focuses on overall excellence rather than just meeting specific metrics.
You got it. It's about continuous improvement, always aiming higher and learning from the best.
Okay.
Now, to thrive in this paradigm, an organization needs a clear structure, a well-defined culture, and strong leadership driving quality from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
It's about creating shared values and norms, not just ticking boxes.
I can see how this builds upon the empirical paradigm. You're still measuring and striving for consistency, but you're adding a layer of aspiration and aiming for something truly exceptional.
Exactly.
Okay, on to paradigm number three. What's the focus of the reflective paradigm?
The reflective paradigm encourages us to take a step back and critically examine our actions, both individually and collectively.
Okay.
It's all about self-awareness, learning from experience, and emphasizing human values in the pursuit of quality.
So less about rigid rules and more about understanding the why behind what we do.
Precisely. It's about questioning assumptions, actively seeking feedback, and constantly striving to improve.
Okay.
This paradigm emphasizes dialogue, collaboration, and a holistic view of quality that goes beyond just meeting standards. It's about fostering a culture of continuous learning and improvement.
It sounds almost like therapy for organizations.
Hmm.
I imagine a group of executives sitting in a circle sharing their feelings about quality control.
Well, maybe not exactly like therapy.
Okay.
But there are some interesting parallels.
Okay.
Think of peer reviews in healthcare.
Okay.
Doctors and nurses evaluating each other's practices, sharing insights, and identifying areas for growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great example of the reflective paradigm in action.
That's a fantastic example. It highlights how this approach can create a culture of shared learning and improvement.
Yeah.
Okay, we've explored three paradigms so far. I have a feeling things are about to get really interesting with paradigm number four.
Right.
Bring on the emergence paradigm.
you're in for a treat. This is where things shift from a linear controlled approach to a more dynamic and unpredictable one.
Okay.
The emergence paradigm embraces complexity, self-organization, and the very idea that drew you to this topic, that the whole can become greater than the sum of its parts.
Whoa, that's a powerful concept. But how does this apply to quality management?
Right.
I'm eager to hear how this unexpected magic you mentioned happens.
Imagine a team of diverse individuals with different perspectives and expertise coming together, not with a rigid plan,
okay,
but with a shared purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Through interaction, creative friction, and adaptation,
mm-hmm.
they achieve something truly innovative and unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
That's emergence in action.
So it's about letting go of control and embracing the magic of what can happen when people collaborate in a complex environment.
You could say that, but it's not chaos for chaos's sake.
Okay.
This paradigm requires adaptability, a willingness to experiment, and a focus on creating the conditions for emergence to occur.
I'm starting to see how these paradigms build on each other, each adding a new layer of complexity and sophistication.
Right.
But where do values fit into all of this? How do an organization's values influence which paradigm they might lean towards?
Values play a crucial role.
Okay.
They determine how these paradigms are viewed and implemented. Different contexts, different values, different approaches to quality. Mm-hmm. It's all interconnected.
So a hierarchical organization in a stable environment might gravitate towards the empirical paradigm with its emphasis on control and predictability,
right,
while a fast-paced tech startup might embrace the emergence paradigm with its focus on adaptability and innovation.
Exactly. Context is key.
Yeah.
And the beauty is that organizations can draw from different paradigms as needed, adapting their approach based on the situation.
Okay.
It's like having a toolbox full of different tools,
yeah,
knowing which one to use for which job.
That's a great analogy. Okay. Our sources also mentioned this intriguing idea of self-organization.
Right.
It seems like a key concept in the emergence paradigm.
Yes.
Can you unpack that for us?
Certainly think of a flock of birds flying in perfect formation without a designated leader.
Okay.
Each bird responds to its neighbors.
Uh-huh.
And the collective intelligence of the group creates a beautiful emergent pattern.
Okay.
That's self-organization in action.
Fascinating. So in TQM, this would be like teams forming organically around a shared goal, adapting and innovating along the way.
Precisely. Self-organization is a key element in the emergence paradigm, fostering creativity, innovation, and a more responsive approach to quality.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to understand that self-organization doesn't just happen magically.
Right.
It requires a certain set of conditions and a culture that supports it.
Okay. I'm sensing this is a topic worthy of a deeper dive.
Yes.
But for now, I think we've laid a great foundation by exploring these four paradigms.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about self-organization deserving more attention.
Yeah.
It's fascinating how a group can achieve remarkable things,
yeah,
when individuals come together,
uh-huh,
with a shared purpose and the freedom to act.
It's like that old saying, none of us is as smart as all of us.
Right.
But it seems like there's more to it than just gathering a bunch of smart people in a room and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
What are some of the key ingredients for successful self-organization?
One of your sources,
mm,
a researcher named Middleton Kelly,
okay,
really hits the mark,
mm-hmm,
with her definition of self-organization.
Okay.
She describes it as a spontaneous coming together of a group,
okay,
to perform a task,
uh-huh,
where the group itself decides what to do, how to do it, and when to do it.
Yeah.
All without any external direction.
So it's about giving teams true ownership.
Yes.
Over their work. Yeah. But how do you actually foster that sense of ownership and autonomy?
Right.
Is it just a matter of saying, go self-organize and hoping for the best?
Definitely not. It's more nuanced than that.
Okay.
While clear goals are essential,
yeah,
it's crucial to establish a shared understanding,
okay,
of why the work matters.
Uh-huh.
This shared purpose becomes a guiding force, helping the team align and self-organize around a common goal.
So before diving into the how, ensure everyone's on the same page about the why. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's like having a group of friends planning a surprise party.
Right.
If everyone's clear on the goal of making the birthday person feel loved and celebrated,
mm-hmm,
they can self-organize around different tasks,
yeah,
and still create a cohesive and joyful event.
That's a great analogy. And it highlights another key element, trust.
Okay.
Just like in a group of friends planning a party, a self-organizing team needs to trust each other's skills, judgment, and commitment to the shared purpose.
Trust is essential for any successful team, but it seems especially crucial in a self-organizing environment where you're relying on each other's initiative and decision-making.
Absolutely. And that trust can't just be assumed.
Okay.
It needs to be cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders need to create an environment
right.
where people feel safe taking risks, sharing their ideas,
yeah.
and even making mistakes without fear of reprisal.
That reminds me of something you mentioned earlier, psychological safety.
Right.
It sounds like that's a cornerstone.
It is.
Of the emergence paradigm.
Yes.
Not just for self-organization, but for fostering innovation and creativity as well.
You're absolutely right. If people are afraid to speak up, to challenge assumptions, to propose new ideas, then emergence is going to be stifled.
Yeah.
It's like trying to grow a plant in a dark room.
Right.
You need the right conditions for things to flourish.
So it's about creating a culture
yes.
where people feel empowered to experiment, to learn from their mistakes.
Exactly.
And to contribute their unique perspectives.
Yeah, and that brings us back to the importance of diversity, which we touched on earlier.
Okay.
When you have a team with diverse backgrounds, experiences, and ways of thinking,
yeah.
you increase the likelihood of generating novel solutions and approaches to quality management.
So it's not just about ticking diversity boxes. It's about genuinely valuing and leveraging the different perspectives that people bring to the table.
Precisely. A monoculture might feel efficient in the short term, everyone thinking alike and moving in the same direction.
Yeah.
But it ultimately stifles innovation and limits the potential for emergence.
You know, thinking back to those four paradigms, I'm noticing a theme of feedback.
Oh, yeah. Running through all of them.
Yes.
Whether it's data-driven feedback in the empirical paradigm.
Right.
Feedback against a reference model in the reference paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Feedback from peers in the reflective paradigm. Or feedback from the complex environment in the emergence paradigm.
Yeah.
It seems like a constant in the pursuit of quality.
That's a keen observation. Feedback is crucial in all four paradigms.
Okay.
But the nature and source of that feedback varies.
Uh-huh.
In the empirical paradigm, it's all about quantitative data.
Yeah.
Measuring, analyzing, and adjusting based on the numbers.
So it's like a feedback loop where you're constantly gathering data, making tweaks, and measuring again to see if you're moving in the right direction.
Yes. And in the reference paradigm,
okay.
the feedback comes from comparing yourself to an established model or standard.
And that comparison can reveal areas for improvement.
Right.
And provide a roadmap for achieving excellence.
The reflective paradigm, on the other hand, emphasizes feedback that's more qualitative and introspective.
It's about reflecting on experiences, seeking input from others, and engaging in dialogue to gain a deeper understanding of how to improve.
So it's about looking inward as much as outward, understanding not just what's working or not working, but
yeah.
why.
And then we have the emergence paradigm.
Right.
Where feedback comes from the dynamic interplay of the team with the complex environment around them.
Precisely. It's about being responsive to unexpected challenges and opportunities, adapting as you go along, and learning from the emergent patterns that arise.
Right.
This whole conversation about feedback has me thinking about how we define good quality.
Uh-huh.
In the first place, it seems like a subjective concept that can vary.
Yes.
Depending on the context and the values of the stakeholders involved.
You've hit on a crucial point, one of your sources. A book exploring the emergence paradigm.
Okay.
Suggests that quality can be viewed through 15 different aspects. Each offering a unique lens
wow.
through which to assess an entity's fitness for purpose.
15, that's a lot of lenses. Can you give me some examples?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You might consider the numerical aspect.
Right.
How many units are produced, how quickly, at what cost,
mm-hmm.
or you might look at the aesthetic aspect,
yeah.
how pleasing is the design,
right.
how does it make you feel,
yeah.
or the ethical aspect, are the yeah. materials sourced responsibly?
Right.
Is the product used in an ethical way?
Yeah.
There's even a temporal aspect.
Okay.
How durable is the product?
Right.
How long will it last?
So it's not just about the hard numbers, but also about the values embedded in the very essence of what's being created and how it's used in the world.
Exactly. And this concept of fitness for purpose
mm-hmm.
suggests that quality is not an absolute.
Okay.
It depends on the intended use,
right.
the context and the values of the stakeholders involved.
Mm-hmm.
A high quality product for one purpose might be considered low quality for another.
It's making me think about those debates about quality in different fields.
Yes.
Like what makes a good movie,
right.
a good meal? It's
yeah.
so subjective.
You're right. The definition of quality is often debated and contested.
Yeah.
But that's where the power of these four paradigms comes in.
Okay.
They provide different frameworks for approaching the question of quality.
Right.
And for making decisions about how to achieve it.
So there's no one right answer,
right?
But a toolbox full of different approaches, each with its own strengths and limitations.
Exactly. And that's what makes this field so fascinating and dynamic.
Yeah.
It's not about finding the one right paradigm, but about understanding the nuances of each approach.
Right.
And choosing the one that best fits the context and the desired outcome.
Okay.
And sometimes it's about blending elements from different paradigms to create a hybrid approach.
I can see how that would be especially relevant in today's world where organizations are facing increasing complexity and uncertainty.
Yeah.
They need to be adaptable and able to draw from different approaches.
Absolutely.
To navigate these challenges effectively.
The world is changing rapidly, and the old ways of thinking about quality might not always be the most effective.
Right.
The emergence paradigm, with its embrace of complexity and adaptability,
yeah,
offers a new lens through which to view these challenges and to unlock new possibilities.
This whole conversation is making me think differently about the nature of teamwork and leadership.
Okay.
It's less about controlling everything from the top down.
Right.
And more about creating the right conditions for something amazing to emerge.
Yes.
From the collective intelligence and creativity of the group.
That's a powerful insight. And it's a reminder that leadership in the context of emergence is not about having all the answers. But about creating a space where answers can be discovered collaboratively.
So it's about asking the right questions.
Yes.
Providing the necessary resources and support.
Right.
And then trusting the team to find their own path forward.
Precisely. It's about fostering a culture of experimentation, learning, and continuous improvement.
Okay.
Where people feel empowered to take risks, to challenge assumptions.
Yeah.
And to contribute their unique perspectives to the pursuit of a shared goal.
This has been incredibly insightful. But I have to admit, my brain is starting to feel a bit full.
Yeah, I know we've covered a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in.
Can we take a moment to recap the core ideas we've explored so far?
Absolutely. It's helpful to pause and reflect on the key takeaways we started by unpacking the four paradigms of quality management.
Okay.
Each with its own unique approach to achieving and defining quality. The empirical paradigm is all about meeting specifications and controlling variation.
Right.
Think of it as the realm of data and predictability.
Right, like a well-oiled machine humming along smoothly. Then we moved on to the reference paradigm, where the focus shifts to benchmarking against established models and striving for excellence.
It's about aiming high and continuously improving by learning from the best. Next, we explored the reflective paradigm, which emphasizes self-awareness feedback and a more human-centered approach to quality.
It's like therapy for organizations, encouraging them to examine their actions and motivations deeply.
Right.
And finally, we arrived at the heart of the matter.
Yes.
The emergence paradigm.
The emergence paradigm.
Where the magic of self-organization and adaptability comes into play.
It's about embracing complexity and recognizing that the whole can become greater than the sum of its parts. We also delved into the concept of self-organization.
Yeah.
Exploring how teams can achieve remarkable results when they have a shared purpose, clear goals, and the freedom to act autonomously.
We talked about the importance of trust, psychological safety, and diversity in fostering self-organization or creating a culture where emergence can flourish.
And we also discussed how the definition of good quality itself can be subjective and context-dependent, highlighting the concept of fitness for purpose.
And running through all four paradigms, we identified the common thread of feedback.
Yeah.
Albeit in different forms,
right,
as a crucial element in the pursuit of quality.
This has been a rich and multifaceted exploration.
Yeah, it has.
And it's clear that you've gained a deep understanding of these concepts.
Well, thank you.
But the journey doesn't end here.
I'm eager to hear what else we can learn from this deep dive. What other insights do you have for our listener as they continue to explore these ideas? I'm ready to dive back in. We've covered a lot of ground, but I'm particularly curious about this idea of fostering emergence.
Right.
It sounds almost too good to be true.
Yeah.
Like, can we really create the conditions for these magical moments of breakthrough innovation to happen?
It's not about conjuring magic spells.
Okay.
But there are definitely practical steps organizations can take to make themselves more emergence friendly.
Okay.
Remember that case study of the integrated care masters program we discussed earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Their success wasn't just a lucky accident.
Right. Their diverse faculty team with their wide range of ages, genders, experiences, and disciplines was a key ingredient in their success. They created something truly innovative in the field of integrated care, even though it wasn't part of some grand plan.
Exactly, that unplanned emergent outcome stemmed from their commitment to embracing diversity.
Okay.
It's not just about hitting diversity quotas.
Right.
It's about genuinely valuing different ways of thinking,
mm-hmm.
knowing that when you bring together people with diverse perspectives, you spark the potential for new and unexpected connections.
So create a team with a rich tapestry of backgrounds and experiences, and then what's the next step in fostering emergence?
The next step is to cultivate an environment of psychological safety.
Okay.
Where people feel comfortable taking risks, sharing their ideas, and even making mistakes without fear of being judged or punished.
Yeah.
If everyone's walking on eggshells, afraid to rock the boat, emergence is going to be pretty hard to come by.
That makes perfect sense. Innovation often begins with a crazy idea.
Right.
That gets refined and shaped through collaboration.
Exactly.
So leaders need to foster a culture where experimentation is encouraged, not stifled.
Absolutely. And this ties into another crucial element, loosening the reins.
Okay.
Remember, the emergence paradigm is all about self-organization.
Right.
That means letting go of some control, trusting teams to find their own solutions, even if those solutions aren't what you initially envisioned.
Okay. That can be tough for leaders who are used to being in charge. Do you have any advice for those leaders on how to make that shift from command and control
right.
to a more emergence-friendly style?
It's about reframing your role.
Okay.
And instead of being the one with all the answers, think of yourself as the one who creates the space
mm-hmm.
for answers to emerge.
Okay.
Set a clear direction, articulate the overall goals, but then step back and let the team figure out the how.
So it's less about dictating every step and more about asking questions, offering guidance, and providing the support the team needs to succeed instead of saying, do this way.
Yeah.
You're saying, here's where we need to go. How do you think we should get there?
Precisely ask things like, what challenges are you encountering?
Yeah.
What resources would be helpful? How can I support you in achieving these goals?
Right.
By shifting from a directive approach to a more supportive and facilitative one, you create the space for self-organization and emergence to flourish.
It's a real mindset shift for many leaders, but I can see how empowering it could be for teams. Speaking of self-organization, we talked earlier about how it's a key driver of emergence.
Yes.
But how do you actually encourage it in a team? Do you just gather everyone in a room and say, okay, go self-organize?
It's definitely more nuanced than that. Remember Middleton Kelly's definition?
Yeah.
Self-organization is about a group spontaneously coming together to achieve a task, deciding for themselves what to do, how to do it, and when to do it all without external direction.
Right. So it's about empowering teams to take ownership and make decisions. But it seems like there needs to be some kind of framework or guiding principles to prevent things from descending into chaos.
You're right. It's not about anarchy. While clear goals are essential, equally important is ensuring that everyone shares a deep understanding of why the work matters. This shared purpose acts as a sort of invisible compass, guiding the team's self-organization toward a common goal.
So make sure everyone's aligned on the why before they start figuring out the how. I'm starting to see how these pieces fit together. You need diversity to spark creativity, psychological safety, to encourage risk-taking trust, to foster collaboration, and a shared purpose to guide the team's self-organization.
You got it. It's like creating a fertile ecosystem where the seeds of emergence can take root and flourish.
This emergence paradigm is really speaking to me. It just feels so relevant to the way the world works today, constantly changing, complex, unpredictable. It's almost like a hopeful way of looking at all the chaos.
It is a powerful concept,
mm-hmm.
and it's gaining traction as more organizations realize the limitations of traditional control-based approaches in a world that's increasingly volatile and uncertain. Embracing complexity and adaptability is not just a nice to have.
Right.
It's essential for survival.
So it's not just about making better widgets. It's about making better systems, better teams, better ways of working together to navigate the challenges of our time. It's about creating organizations that are not just efficient, but also resilient, adaptable, and capable of thriving in the face of the unknown.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of the emergence paradigm.
Yeah.
It offers a framework for not just surviving, but for thriving in complexity.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener for me, and I hope for our listener as well. We've explored four paradigms, unpacked the power of emergence, and delved into the magic of self-organization. As we wrap up, what are your final thoughts for our listener as they continue to explore these ideas?
I'd encourage our listener to stay curious, stay open, and be willing to experiment.
Mm-hmm.
The world of quality management is evolving, And the principles of emergence can help navigate this complexity and unlock new levels of excellence. The journey doesn't end with this deep dive.
Right.
It's an ongoing process of learning, adapting, and evolving your approach to quality. Who knows what amazing things might emerge along the way?
Thank you for joining us on this incredible journey through the world of emergence in total quality management. We hope you found it insightful and inspiring, and we look forward to diving into new and fascinating topics with you next time.